chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, Anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com, fully updated, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Yes. Now that we are finally getting over the plague, I'm feeling much better.
Yeah, in case you couldn't tell from the first part of this show, we don't exactly sound all there or all right.
I always sound all there all the time, you know.
Dave's voice sounds strangely deeper than usual.
Yes, very sexy, isn't it? Yes.
My voice sounds deeper than usual. Yeah.
Not as sexy. Not so much, yeah.
Whatever.
No, just, you know.
You know, the frogs that have been sitting in my throat, they're sexy. They are some sexy frogs.
They are. They're insanely sexy frogs. So,
on to something that's actually sexy. The sexy show, Human Target.
You said that.
I did.
That was you. Yeah. Actually, it's had some sexy female co-stars in it, though.
Yeah.
So I guess I would have to go. Yeah. You know, if you listen to our show, you know that, you know, once in a while we do talk about Human Target. We loved it when we saw the pilot at Comic-Con.
Yeah, we've been talking about it ever since Comic-Con. We've been so excited for it to come out on Fox.
We got to quickly meet Mark Valley and Chi McBride
Jackie Earle Haley.
We didn't actually get to record any of it, but they were all really, really cool guys, and you know, we've just loved it, and you know, it was one of those things where we didn't like the promos that were coming out for it, but we keep on telling people, watch it, and we saw the pilot again and liked it just as much the second time, mm-hmm. if not more.
Yeah.
And then we were able to watch the next two episodes, and I have to say, like, this is definitely one of my favorite shows on right now.
I agree. Absolutely not a letdown at all.
No.
Okay, so we've been talking, you know, obviously in the beginning of the show, we spend a lot of time on Caprica.
Yeah.
And Caprica was one of those that we were excited to see. We had finished Battlestar, you know, even though we'd gotten into it late, we finally got through it. And we were so excited to see what Caprica would be all about. And we watched it, and it just didn't do it for us.
Yeah.
Human Target doesn't ask a lot of you.
No, not at all.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't require much of you, but it's just a fun fest.
Well, you know, it's sort of like you know, it's sort of like in Taoism or something. Sometimes, you know, the simplest things are the best things, you know. And I know I use the word simple to critique Caprica, but that was a whole different story on what Caprica's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
With Human Target, you know, It's about this guy who basically is in private security, mm-hmm. you know, and he helps people who, you know, are basically, they have nowhere else to go, and they're most likely going to get killed by some sort of evil force. And what's great about it is, you know, there's not a whole lot of character ambiguity in it. The only character that, you know, is kind of riding the line between good and evil is the Guerrero character.
Yeah.
And they make that very clear,
uh-huh.
that's sort of... Half of the comic relief comes from the fact that his character is like that.
Yeah.
The fact that his character is like a total badass, like almost psychopath.
And the simple fact is that Jackie Earle Haley he's a genius.
He really is.
The man is just so amazing at what he does that he rides that line and you ride it right there with him.
You know, he's such an amazing guy because we, you know, Watchmen has been on lately on HBO, and I'll flip to it. And, you know, we liked Watchmen. It has its issues, but I think that, you know, as an adaptation, you know, you can't help but give credit to Zack Snyder that he was aiming for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach is he's just perfect. You know, it's like he's one of these great actors that really. It's funny to say he was born for the role, but it's almost like every role he does, he's born for. He's so fantastic.
I totally agree with you.
You know, I mean, he's unbelievable in it, this Guerrero character is fantastic.
Yeah, one of the things that we really loved when we met the creators of the show and the stars of it. You know, even though we only got to talk to them briefly, they all really, really wanted to make sure that they were getting it right and making the fans happy.
Yeah.
And this isn't like one of those things where they think they're better than the material, or they think that they're better than their fans, right, or they think they know better than everyone. Every single one of them, Mark Valley and Chi McBride and Jackie Earle Haley, all included in this, as well as the show makers, they all really wanted to know what people thought of the pilot. They wanted to know that people enjoyed it, and if they didn't, they actually wanted to hear what people thought they may have done wrong and that they could do better for the next one. They were also every single one of them was so humble.
Mm, totally.
You know, 100%. Mark Valley, we were talking to him, and some other people were talking to him about the stunts in it, and he was telling a story about how Trisha Helfer in the pilot, she was used to Battlestar Galactica and like doing a lot of her own stunts, and just the physical nature of her, she wanted to keep doing stunts, and so poor Mark Valley, he kind of had to, well, if she's gonna do it, then I have to do it too.
Exactly, yeah, and, he can't, yeah, exactly, because no matter what, you know, in the end, it's always a guy's gotta like, oh, but a girl did it, then I have to do it too.
But at the same time, he was totally, you know, totally willing to throw all credit to the stunt guys and say, you know, I really didn't do that much of it. It was really the stunt guys. To which I said, oh, come on, you got to pretend that you did it all. It's like, yeah, I did all the stunts. I'm awesome.
Yeah, no, he's totally great. And what I like about Mark Valley is, you know, this is the right role at the right time for
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
You know, he's not like a 21-year-old guy who just started in the business. You know, he's been around, never really as the star of a lot of big things. But what's great is I think he's perfect as this role of a guy who's kind of been like around the block when it comes to, you know, doing all this kind of action and this sort of like, you know, special forces type stuff. But what they did is, you know, because his character is a little more mysterious, and you know, he plays the physicality and the comedy really well, but I have to say that the two supporting actors in it, mm-hmm. really, I mean, they did such a good job casting this show. It's really remarkable because, you know, Chi McBride, you know, he's a show amongst himself. I mean, he was like a big part of why Pushing Daisies was so good. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was canceled. And of course, he was on Boston Public for a long time. And he's just a really talented actor, both in doing comedy and drama. And like we said, you know, Jackie Earle Haley, like, you know, not only is he sort of a geek staple at this point, but he's just a fantastic actor. You know, and so, you know, all three of these guys together with these characters that are just kind of really fun and cool. I mean, what I love about this show is it's practically like an episode of Bourne Identity. Like every episode is almost like the Bourne Identity or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a really interesting scenario, you know, like a Die Hard or Speed type scenario. And then, you know, there's always an action scene. There's always a fight scene, you know, and one of the cool things is, yeah, it's not like, you know, it might not have the SFX budget of something like a Heroes or something like that, or Heroes first or second season. But they don't make excuses with that either. Like, I'm not really sure how much the budget is, but there's always a lot of action in each episode. And, you know, that's not always easy to do when you have to, you know, when you have to keep costs down.
You know, one of the things I like about this, one of the things that we like about Doctor Who is that Doctor Who never goes running in with guns. He's got a sonic screwdriver. One of the things that I kind of appreciate about this is that is about the Chance character. He's not going and running in with guns.
Right.
Usually his specific job is to protect someone, to try and save their life, but not, he doesn't just go in to go and kill everyone else around. You know what I mean? It's like, if he doesn't have to use a gun, all the better. You know, if he can just, he still beats a whole lot of people up and you know, does some kicking and punching and stuff, but his mission isn't to go in guns a-blazing.
No, you're right. You know, his mission is to blend in, let the threat reveal itself, and then eliminate that threat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, it's, you always got to be more impressed with heroes that don't run in guns blazing, you know, like, I think you look at a guy, well, you know, Captain America, you know, though he has, you know, super soldier serum, he has a shield and everyone else has guns, you know? Liam from Taken is a good example. He doesn't even start off with a gun in Taken, you know? He's just beating up dudes and then, like, he ends up getting guns and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's quite as good of an example.
No, it's true, though, because, you know,
but his whole intention is to kill everyone that might be involved in stealing his daughter.
Yeah, well, they deserve it. But
they do.
The whole point is, it's not like Commando, which is the exact opposite of that, where Arnold walks in, like, you know, armed to the teeth, you know, and just annihilating everybody.
That's like saying that First Blood fits into this because he wasn't planning to kill everyone, but then he had to make weapons. I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Just like it. Same exact practical thing. Anyway, so let's talk about the pilot that we talked about before real quick. You know, basically the story was that, the Trisha Helfer character had designed this bullet train that goes from San Francisco to L.A. And before its maiden voyage, there's some sort of contract that's been put on her. Or no, her car almost explodes.
Yeah.
There's
a threat on
her
life, and they want to not get the police involved but keep her protected. Yeah. And so
that's sort of like the theme of like all the episodes, basically. Yeah. You know, it's that, you know, someone's life's in danger, and then he goes in there and you know, figures out who's trying to kill him. And, you know, some of the really amazing things in that first episode is, that fight against the assassin in the middle of the train. Unbelievable. And I love the fact that, you know, it has parts too. It's like they, you know, they start off like in the vent shaft, or is it vent shaft? Is that what it's called?
I don't know
what I'm talking about.
That doesn't sound right.
Wait, what is that?
Like the ventilation shaft?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I know. It just vent shaft doesn't sound
vent
right.
Vent shaft, well, whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Anyway, and then, you know, they start fighting in, like, the close quarters, and then, you know, it comes tumbling down, and then they're, you know, basically kung fu fighting inside, and, you know, of course, ending with him kicking the dude through the window, which is, like, the most awesome thing ever. And, there's all kinds of really great set pieces. It was funny, because in the second episode that we saw, the one that was on the airplane, they did a few things that were different from the pilot. The only thing that annoyed me about that episode was they were kind of jumping in between time periods.
Right.
Now, this is the thing. The only reason that it annoyed me is the thing that is the fact that this has been done in quite a few excellent shows across many years. And, you know, the problem is it wasn't poorly done in this. It's just that we've seen this done so much better. And, like, particularly, I always think of that Out of Gas episode from Firefly, which, you know, they started with, like, filling, like, you know, right before he was dead, and it kind of kept on jumping back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was really well done, and it made a lot of sense. So, in that way, this felt a little more capricious.
But the thing about this one is that it needed to do that, because the entire beginning, in actual time, the entire beginning was trying to figure out who the person was that they were supposed to be protecting,
the hacker,
and who the person was they were protecting that person from. And so you've got the entire thing is pretty much Chi McBride and Mark Valley talking to each other about, you know, who it could be.
Yeah.
And so if the entire beginning of the episode were that, it would have probably been the most boring first half of an episode ever. And so it makes sense why they didn't really have a choice but to manipulate the time.
I agree. I mean, that's what kept it interesting. You
exactly.
know, it's like you start from the very beginning with him in the cockpit, you know, like already trying to fly the plane and saying the plane's on fire. And then it goes back to before it starts. And I think you're right, you know, especially when you have an enclosed space like that, sometimes you do need to kind of cut around in order to build up that tension and can constantly keep the tension going. Now,
the really funny thing about the episode then is that you ask yourself, wait, are they always going to be in a tight spot like this, a physical tight spot, a captive area where they don't really have a choice?
And I was a little worried, and I'm glad that we were able to watch the third episode before we did this show, because I was starting to wonder, you know, it's like the first episode is, you know, sort of like Under Siege 2 Dark Territory on a train, and this one is sort of like Passenger 57 or Air Force One. And was it going to be like, is every episode going to be like Die Hard, where basically, you know, he's in one place and in one, you know, situation he can't get out of? And, you know, the third episode, in which, you know, he goes into a Russian embassy because a friend of his is mysteriously killed. He needs to find out who did it. It's funny because it does kind of have the same kind of scenario, except this one has a little more of a Crank type scenario where
it's a ticking
he gets poisoned.
Clock.
But I like the fact that, you know, I was really worried that, you know, it was going to be like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, in a limousine, or, you know, like in a, you know, in a subway, you know, it was going to be like they'd have to find like one of those, you know, difficult to get out situations on a spaceship, you know? And I was glad that they were able to change that around a little bit. Also, one of the really cool things about this show, I have to say, is like the casting for the cameos,
yes,
actors, for the people who come in just episode per episode basis, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, we made the joke about that a while ago, that Dollhouse couldn't be canceled because where else would everyone from Battlestar Galactica go?
We now know.
Now we know. It's Human Target, you know? It's
between Human Target and Chuck.
Yeah.
I think they'll all be okay.
It's locked down. You know, you got Trisha Helfer in the first pilot episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the guy who plays Gata,
yeah,
in the second episode.
Yeah.
Along with Donnelly Rhodes,
yeah,
the doctor, too. And then, you know, this last episode...
I'm so glad you know his name now.
Well, I had to think about it for a second. The only reason I know his name is because you keep on saying it. Yeah, and the only reason... That's so weird.
I'm so familiar with him from Da Vinci's Inquest.
Well, and you remember weird names, too. It's like... what's her name? From Dollhouse. I can never remember her name, and you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure which one.
The Asian chick.
Right.
Yeah, come on, you're supposed to know this. You're the one who knew it all the time.
Yeah, no, I know what her...
Is it racist for me to say the Asian chick?
Well, I mean, you might be better off saying the Australian chick.
The Australian chick. There you go. The Australian chick. Yeah, anyway, her name is totally awesome. Just throws off the point of what I was saying, because you do... Now, apparently, you don't remember weird names.
Yeah,
You don't remember anything.
I don't remember...
How dare you?
Yeah.
Sierra?
But,
Sierra. There we go. That's great. And then in this third episode, you know, they had Sean Marr. Is it Marr? Yeah.
Marr
from Firefly, who played the Doctor and River's brother in Firefly in this new one. So, you know, they're getting these people who are, like, you know, well-known people from,
the
geek sphere, you know, either in two huge cult shows so far, Battlestar and Firefly. And so I hope, you know, it's clear they're doing that on purpose and that they realize that, you know, they can draw people there. And also in this last one, we got Emmanuel Vonner.
Well, it's not just because of that. They're also, I mean, both of those shows had great actors.
Totally.
They cast things perfectly. And so when you kind of pick your guest stars from those shows, you're in luck that you're going to get some really good people.
Yeah, totally, so. Totally. And it works great. And yeah, I just, like, I'm super impressed with every episode, primarily because, like, it's short and sweet, you know?
Nothing
they don't
extra.
Spend a lot of time, like, you know, wah. There isn't a whole lot of, you know, there isn't a whole lot of turmoil going on, like in Caprica or something. It's very much like, you know, they get to the setup, you know, there's a lot of humor involved and there's a lot of action involved, you know.
A lot of snark.
Yeah, a lot of snark, you know. It's like, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's, you know, put Beverly Hills Cop together with, like, Born Identity or something and, you know, and put it in a 1-hour show.
Well, it's all really well done and really concise. And they give you the inkling that, you know, that the main character has a past, and you're gonna start to maybe learn a little bit about it, but his past isn't as important as the fact that you know that he's made a change and this is what he does.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't feel like you're missing out on anything, and you also don't feel like they're not gonna give it to you eventually.
I agree.
Lost, you watch that show and you go, I somehow feel that they're just going to forget that they ever brought this up and they will never explain it. And that's with pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And then when they do start to explain, it's like, wow, they're only giving an explanation because they felt like they needed to, and it doesn't fit at all.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's
that's why I don't watch that stupid show anymore.
That's what Lost does. There's been some great moments. I think the second episode, I don't ever recall seeing anything where a plane had to be flipped over like that, like a 747.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty awesome.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
And so, like, so comic booky.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Yeah, like, just outrageous, and it was such a cool visual. In that same episode, I mean, this is a great moment in all of TV history. He stabs a dude with a plastic spork.
Yeah.
I mean,
spork fight.
Really?
I'm all about the spork fight.
You can't go wrong with that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and
all hail the spork fight.
And then we got a totally, like, awesome, you know, great escape motorcycle jump moment in the last episode, too.
And even better than that, the pretty much assurance that Emmanuel Vonner will be back.
Definitely.
They pretty much set up that, you know, that she's kind of going to be the one that's looking into him, but you know, in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll need him again someday soon.
Yes. And, I love the show. I gotta say, you know.
It just makes us so happy.
You know, the pilot was, you know, pilots, It's funny because pilots can go either way. I have a feeling that the Caprica pilot isn't the best that Caprica can do, and it's going to get a little better. But
especially if Ron Moore has more to do with the rest of the show.
Exactly. But there's also times when the pilot is far better than all the other episodes of a show Fringe. Afterwards. Fringe is a good example. Yeah.
And we know you guys all probably love Fringe, but we could never get past how much better the pilot was than the rest of the show and how boring we felt the show was and how the best part of the show was that guy from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
And that pained us far too much to let us watch it.
It's because, you know, Mark Valley was in the pilot to Fringe. See, that's the whole reason why it was so much better. See, there you go.
That's true. But I believe,
is Mark Valley married to Anna Torv, or are they dating? Aren't they together?
What, like the actual people?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think they are.
Huh.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they are. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Dave could totally be making that up right now.
I could be making that up, yeah.
Well, if we have the opportunity to interview the Human Target people, we can ask.
Yes, I'll find out, but I'm pretty sure they are.
Hear that, Human Target people?
Other.
Get in touch with us, geekworldradio@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Anyway, look that up and let us know. You know, you got the first Human Target pilot that, you know, is directed by Simon West, who directed, like, Con Air. And so you think, well, they have a big, you know, a big director, and it's the pilot, so they can spend more money. So, you know, maybe the next episodes won't be as good. And I feel like the next episodes have been bigger and bigger. And I feel like they've been just as good. And
I think they've proven that they can do the show without needing an explosion.
Yeah.
You know, that they are able to write in the tension with the humor in such a way that Mark Valley just makes it work.
Yeah.
You know, he makes it so that you're going to feel that tension even if there's not a bomb, even if there's not a plane that needs to be flipped, even if they're not stuck in a Russian embassy and needing to escape.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so fantastic. You know, I'm
kind of excited to see what other close, you know, what other time sensitive situations he's going to have to get into.
Yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing is they are able to sort of adapt like what their overall idea is into all these different interesting scenarios. Yeah.
They also did a very good job at adapting what the original comic book that it's, you know, based off of is. They truly took the heart of it, but then they really did adapt it to both modern day and you know, modern sensibilities.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. So yeah, I mean, this show just,
it's what we were hoping for from Dollhouse. It's what we were hoping for from Sarah Connor Chronicles. Well, it was what we were hoping for from all these shows that ended up making us so upset.
Well, I'm glad you just said Dollhouse, because that was the point I was trying to make that I forgot about, was the fact that, you know, Ballard stuff from the first season of Dollhouse, the first few episodes, like, that was some of my favorite stuff, because, you know, it was basically Timoh Pennicott, like, running around either investigating the dollhouse and then having to get into like huge fights with people. And it was awesome because, you know, like I love melee fighting, like, is just awesome in TV. And it's one of those things that you can do, and it's much cheaper than explosions. And I think it works, you know, really well. I mean, when I think of the, you know, I'll bring back the Bourne Identity movies. When I think of those, I usually think more of the fighting scenes than anything else, like the car explosions and the you know, cars jumping off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of that in this show, along with the explosion disaster stuff. So it's just a high octane.
Just to sneak something in there.
Yeah.
In terms of all these stunts, just so you guys know, we've got a huge interview that we're planning that's coming up.
And
all related to all the stunty stuff we're talking about right now.
Yes.
So stay tuned next week, and you'll learn all about what we're talking about.
I mean,
keep up on our Twitter, and we'll give you some details.
Yeah, I mean, this is a person who might as well be the Human Target.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can do the stuff that the fictional character can do.
I wouldn't be surprised to learn that in his spare time he is the Human
Target.
Yeah,
most likely. Yeah, that's probably what's going on. But yeah, I mean, just I can't, you know, help but say watch it. I think it's doing well in the ratings.
I think so too. And, yeah. Bravo to Fox.
Yeah.
You know, we get so upset with certain networks, and Fox is one of them, and not just because, you know, not just because of American Idol.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, seriously.
But we gotta give them props for letting Human Target be what it can be.
Now, I want to say something real quick. I uh, I talked to you about this yesterday, and you said that, you know, you've already made the statement on the show, which I agree with you. I have a lot of issues with the movie director, McG.
Yes.
And we all know Terminator Salvation and Charlie's Angels aren't exactly Citizen Kane. Now, the thing was, though, you know, a comment that you've made before is that he should stick to producing TV because he's good at that. And I agree with you. And it's funny because I'm going to call this little moment the McG reprieve. And the reason I'm going to call it that is because of three of the shows that we're watching and reviewing, all three of them that we love. I mean, for lack of a better term, love. He's produced.
Yeah.
And that is Supernatural, Human Target, and Chuck.
Yeah.
And so McG is, like, working on all of those shows. So I'd have to say that, like, dude, you're, like, when you produce, these shows are awesome. So yeah. Stay in TV land, well, please.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for anyone that has a dream to tell them not to go for their dream. But if McG's dream is to be a movie director, he's got to put that to the side and say, you know what? It's what I want, but I'm just not good at it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to make a movie. And stick to what you've proven yourself to be really good at.
Yeah.
And that is making TV shows, you know, producing TV shows. And you know what? Every once in a while, if you want to take an episode of this one or an episode of that one and you want to direct it, we're okay with that. we can go with you directing one episode here or one episode there, but don't try and do two episodes in a row or two episodes of the same show in close proximity. No, no.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Just keep on bringing us these great shows and keep on with the producing, but that's like, we love you for your producing.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
We love you for your producing, but your directing, we're not on board at all. We're not there with you.
You know, I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, McG, this is your reprieve, so congratulations. I do have to say, you know, I found some recurring themes in the last 2 weeks on TV shows I want to bring up. The first thing was the second episode of Human Target was on an airplane.
Yeah.
And he had a ketamine pen,
yes,
syringe, where basically you injected someone and knocked him out. The third episode of Chuck was on an airplane, and Chuck had a tranquilizer pen that you had to, like, kind of squirt into someone's coffee, sort of like the first Mission Impossible.
This week's NCIS also was on a plane, and somebody took someone else out with a knitting needle.
Yes.
So, yeah, lots of violence on planes.
Yes. Which I suppose makes a lot of sense, but it's funny when you see all these things at the same time.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
It's really weird.
You know? And I got to say, though, Chuck might win just for the fact that it had both fencing swords and nunchucks.
That's true.
Nunchucks are a big thing. Oh, and another obvious comparison that's, you know, Ninja Turtles are clearly in, because Chuck had nunchucks, and then during Human Target, there's a commercial for Monster Truck where we were, and they have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle truck.
Wow.
So, see?
Wow.
Doesn't it all connect in a really clear way?
End of that,
I think. That isn't stretching whatsoever?
I think
How dare
we're,
you? It's we're awesome! Gonna... It's a truck that looks like a Ninja Turtle! That's awesome!
Cowabunga. I think at that we're...
Cowabunga.
Okay. We're gonna take a quick break, but we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Couple of great geeks. Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet. On 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY with your superhero, superhosts, Anime, and Dave, still bringing you the best in the world of geek. So we've been talking about all the shows that we've been watching.
Yeah, yeah, for better or for worse.
For better or for worse,
We've talked about Caprica, the spinoff to Battlestar Galactica. We've talked about Chuck, and we've talked about The Human Target.
Yep.
So now we're going to talk about a brand new show that's coming out of the BBC.
Mm-hmm. For all those of you who have BBC America, it's every new week, a new episode.
Now, you know, I think if you listen to Geek World, you know that, you know, there's a special place in our heart for British television, in particular stuff of the sci-fi horror genre.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think, you know, it's obvious part of it started with Torchwood, and we got into Doctor Who and Being Human, and a few other ones.
Right,
and, Jekyll was a big one for us.
There's a miniseries that you'd seen from the BBC. I watched some Hex.
Yeah,
and even that show they tried to import to the US. I got to see the first episode from the BBC of Life on Mars.
Right.
Which, while the BBC version was awesome, when they tried to remake it in the US, it was a complete failure.
Yeah, and even Merlin that they imported and brought over to NBC.
And we're really hoping that they bring season 2 over this summer.
Yeah. So with this we have demons, and I think remember the point I made earlier with sometimes a pilot can be really, really terrible and make it so you don't want to watch a show, and well, that definitely happened with this show.
Unfortunately, it wasn't just the pilot.
No,
it was the pilot and episode 2.
Yes, they were both pretty terrible. And I think the main reason why it's so bad is if you've ever seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, particularly the movie or the first few episodes of Buffy, it's actually almost insulting how much of a carbon copy this show is of Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there really isn't much more to like the initial why it's this bad.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's sort of like, you could take any synopsis of Buffy and take out the name Buffy and exchange it with the name Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the word Slayer and replace it with Van Helsing.
Yeah.
And take out any reference to Willow or Xander and put in the name Ruby. And it's pretty much the exact same synopsis.
Yeah. Even his watcher is named Rupert.
Yeah.
Not Rupert Giles.
No.
Practically,
Rupert
though.
Galvin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the same exact... Yeah. Uh-huh. The same initials, but you know,
now,
it's totally different.
Let's go on to why Rupert Galvin is also a part of our problem with the show.
Well, it's really funny because we talk at length sometimes on the show about accents.
Yeah.
In particular, we spent quite a while on in Avatar.
Because it really bothered me, even if it didn't bother you so much.
There's been lots of movies on and off where accents have bothered me. This show, however, it's really funny because the guy who plays Rupert, he is playing an American.
Yeah, the character of this Rupert, what is it again?
Galvin.
Rupert Galvin.
I know, don't you want to say Giles?
I do, yeah. I want to call him.
He's the exact same character,
practically. He's the same character.
Yeah,
but he's playing American, and somehow this guy manages to not only not sound American, but to give himself an Irish accent while he's busy not sounding American.
Yeah, exactly.
We were convinced that he was just an Irish guy that couldn't get the American accent, but no. He's like from London or something, and yet, you know, he sounds Irish when he's trying to be American. And we know that he's trying to be American, not only because he sort of does the accent, but also because they keep on adding things in like Yanks and colonial something or other and stuff that I don't, you know, we've never actually even been to the UK. We don't know how people refer to Americans or anything like that, or if they hate Americans, how they refer derogatorily towards them. But the terms that they use are so strange, and even stranger to hear them out of the character that's supposed to be the American.
Yeah, exactly. I would assume Yanks is probably one of the terms that they use.
Probably.
Or if you're a zombie who's hundreds of years old, colonials.
But no American has ever used the term Yank.
No. Unless they're talking about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Yeah. This guy sounds a lot like Brendan Gleeson when he talks, who is Irish. And it's sort of like... it's funny because the problem is because I think it would come off better and it wouldn't bother so much if John Barrowman wasn't on TV doing like Torchwood and having been on Doctor Who
and Hugh Laurie weren't House.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, knowing that these British guys, you know, and granted John Barrowman's a different story because he grew up in America, but knowing that they can, you know, that there are guys that are in the UK that can do a really good American accent.
Yeah.
It makes it really difficult when you've got someone that doesn't sound American. And usually we might be able to make fun of it, but as you said, having John Barrowman as the star in Torchwood, you know, it really kind of does something for you to push that they can't pretend to be American.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny too, because, you know, he just says like the weirdest things too, and like and it's funny because everything he says is in like ye olde English.
Yeah,
and so it's even funnier the fact that he's
trying
being
to be
an
American.
Yeah, he's trying to be an American. It really doesn't make any sense. Pretty much, you know, when Luke asked in the first episode to Rupert, you know, how do they catch the demons or how do they feel about demons? He says, Rupert says, "We don't care to name them. We just grade them and smite them like the wrath of God."
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, you could definitely play a drinking game to this for every time smite or smote is said during the show.
Kind of like in Vampire Diaries, anytime that main vampire guy says the word
I must know her. Yes.
I saw some lunch today. I must know it.
Pretty much, yeah.
He says the word no, and it's so weird. He should stop saying no. This guy should stop saying the word smite.
Yeah. But, like, let's look at, you know, some of the other stuff, because, really, it's Buffy.
Let me give the general, the way that it's not Buffy. Like you said, Buffy was the slayer.
Yeah.
In this case, Luke, the main guy, the main character, you know, is the last descendant of Van Helsing.
Yes.
So any of you who know the Dracula lore, you know, Van Helsing is like, pretty much, you know, the demon slayer. Mm-hmm.
He's the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah. And so... You know,
for those of you who've seen the Hugh Jackman movie,
yeah, right. Oh, that would be no one.
Yes, I saw it. Pretty much it. Yeah.
And they include other things of, you know, essentially the vampire, the Dracula lore. Mm-hmm. One of the other main characters is Mina Harker.
Yes.
Who, as we move along through the episodes, we'll get to her very special episode.
Yeah.
But,
and she's blind in this.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. It's always good to have the blind sidekick. I think it's just like always
except
important.
In Blade Trinity.
Yeah, yeah. Then it kind of went awry at that point. Yeah.
So you know, so it's an interesting concept. I appreciate them going with the Dracula lore, with the, you know, the vampire lore in that way.
Yeah.
I also appreciate though that they don't stick harshly to the lore.
Uh-huh.
They have their own ways of how things are defeated.
Yeah, you know, I think that the first episode was tough purely because it just
getting
comes off as a huge ripoff of Buffy.
Yeah.
Like, everything about it is just like, it's like Dude Buffy.
And the kid,
it's really not any different than Buffy.
The kid who plays Luke isn't as endearing as Sarah Michelle Gellar was as Buffy. He wasn't as likable in it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about him. You know, he sort of looks like Chance Crawford to me from The Gossip Girl, and I'm sort of like...
I liked him,
really?
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed with him the first two episodes. I think it was around the third or fourth episode, though, I didn't mind him as much anymore.
Well, yeah, because first off, by the third episode, it finally got good.
Yeah.
But also, like I said before, the first episode was Getting to Know You. And the Getting to Know You episode, in Buffy, they had the movie that came before it. So she already knew she was the Slayer. She didn't have to get into the, this is what being a Slayer is, you know? In this, he had godfather or whatever, that Rupert Galvin is his godfather, essentially, you know, comes in and is like, so, just so you know, your dad was Van Helsing and you're Van Helsing. And, so this is what we're going to do. And, you're this nice life that you have, it's all going to hell.
I mean, I would recommend for anyone who's a huge Buffy fan to watch the first episode and turn it into a drinking game anytime they blatantly rip off Buffy, because you'd be very, very drunk very quickly. I would say one of the funniest ones that came up to me is, two times within the first, like, 5 minutes of this show, there was, you know that scene in Buffy the movie when she first meets the Watcher, and he's in the locker room and he throws the knife at her and she twists around and she catches it? It was in, like, every trailer, big moment of the movie. And I think they did the same thing in the pilot for the show. Well, that moment happens twice in the first 5 minutes of this show.
Yep.
The first time is, like, Galvin throws a metal spatula at Luke and he like catches it, and then like he throws an envelope at him out of nowhere too and he catches it, you know, all to prove to him it's like normal people don't have reflexes like you, you're special. And like literally it was just like, it's so funny. Like, and I was really angry in the first episode because like it's almost like you know, I can't remember what show it is, what movie it is, but there was a movie where they took the synopsis for Jaws and just took out Jaws and put in, like, giant octopus, and it was, like, the same exact movie.
No way.
Yeah, and this is, like, this is that case, at least for the first episode. I will have to say, though, some of the stuff I did like later on we said it got a little better, and they started, like, changing the lore a little bit. Like, I think the vampire lore was actually very interesting in the third episode.
Well, it's funny because it's, like, I want to tell people to watch those first two episodes because you want to get the information. You want to understand, you know, who the kid is and who Galvin is and who Mina is, you know, and how they all kind of come together and all of that. But those first two episodes, they are just so painfully bad that we can't even honestly recommend it without also recommending alcohol.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, the pilot is atrocious. Part of the reason the pilot is so atrocious is because one of the things we like in British TV is they don't waste a lot of time. So they do set up everything in that first episode, but it just is so much clearer that it's a Buffy ripoff that it's like almost impossible to watch. And I'd also say that, you know, I think that we're probably going to continue to watch it because, like we said, the third and fourth episode were much better.
Yeah, but, I'm glad I convinced you to watch them, by the way.
But this is the thing. Like, if we weren't doing... If we weren't watching this show for Geek World, I wouldn't have watched past the first episode. Like, what's the point? I've seen this done before, and it's been done much better.
I agree. And, I totally agree.
But I am glad, you know, I'm glad that we did watch, you know, the third and fourth episode, because I do feel like watching it more, because finally the things that I did like that were a little different from Buffy are finally kind of shining through in a good way.
Yeah.
One of the things I really like is that, you know, all these different monsters, they have a grading system where they're called type. And it's basically, the reason I like it is it reminds me of power levels in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
It's practically the same idea. You know, the weak ones are top 4, top 5s. The more powerful ones are type 11, type 15s. Yeah. And I sort of like that, you know, they're going into a battle knowing these certain weapons won't kill a type 11. Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's even like, you know, the belts in certain martial arts, you know? It's like, if you're a brown belt, you'll still probably get your butt kicked by a black belt.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, I don't know, is there a green belt or something?
Yes,
you know?
There is a green belt,
or like
yes.
a yellow belt,
yes.
you know, you don't want to go up against the black belt.
Right.
You know, and it's the same kind of thing where like you said, they have these levels, and the higher the level, the harder they are to kill, the less effective the weapons that are from the Van Helsing Library.
Yes.
Speaking of another Buffy ripoff.
Yeah, the stacks, as it's called, which is their main lair, couldn't look more like the library in
now,
Buffy.
I agree that a library, especially in something, you know, of like demon mythology and stuff, the ancient library full of the ancient books and stuff that aren't yet on the computer, you know, I can get that. I can go with that a library would be a necessary location.
Yeah.
But to make it look almost exactly like the Buffy school library is beyond bizarre.
It's a little much,
to the point of, really?
Yeah.
Really? You couldn't make it at least, like, a little different?
Well, that's what and that's what especially the first two episodes come off as, is you go really a lot.
Yeah.
If you smell your Buffy, you're like, really? Like, you didn't even care to change it at all?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm surprised his nickname wasn't Buffy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I swear, like, it's astonishing.
Well, it's funny because so many of these other shows, they'll even make little references to a Buffy or something when they do something like that, you know? And I almost wanted them to do that in here so that I wouldn't feel so much like they were just trying to rip Buffy off.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing, that we know that in the UK, that Buffy was actually a really popular show.
Yeah.
And so it's not like one of those things where, oh, well, in America, they rip off these shows because no one's ever seen the British show.
Yeah.
No. People there have seen Buffy.
Yeah.
And they know Buffy. And so it surprises me that more people aren't, like, as upset about that it's a Buffy ripoff, even if the reviewers are mentioning it. They're going, I've even seen reviews that go, even if you're a Buffy fan, you might see it as a ripoff, but it's totally not. It's like, no, it kind of is.
It totally is. That's the thing. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, when that show Moonlight was on, which was a total ripoff of Angel, it was sort of like, listen, you're going to have to either deal with the fact that it's a ripoff and still watch it, or... just, you know, it's a ripoff and I'm not going to watch it. Those are your options.
You either get your vampire fix or you don't.
I don't care. There's no way. There's so much evidence stacked against this that it's a total copy of it.
Yeah.
That you can't get away from it, really. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, it does have some fun, interesting stuff. There is some interesting comedy in it.
Yeah.
Especially in the fourth episode.
Yeah, with that dry British.
Yeah. And they are starting to have some like cool, like, you know, people from the past show up. The old guy from Merlin shows up on the episodes.
He's on everything. Yeah, he shows up everywhere.
He's awesome. And you know, we're starting to get some villains from the past. And so, you know, the mythology is starting to grow a little bit and it is starting to get better.
Yeah.
But I got to say, it is almost impossible to get through that pilot.
Yeah.
You can't,
if you're going to watch it, if you want to get into this show, which, you know, like we said, episodes 3 and 4 show you that it's a worthwhile show. But if you're going to watch that first episode, don't sit there and just watch it.
Yeah.
Do something else or, you know, drink while you're watching
it.
Drunk as hell. have a party. I don't know. But like, you know, shoot the screen with foam darts every time something happens.
Yeah.
And that's what we did when we watched Van Helsing.
Yes,
we did.
Yes, with our Van Helsing, dart gun.
But let's get on to that third and fourth episode where they actually started to stop getting to know you and start giving you some good individual stories.
Yeah, it's funny because, the third episode was just, it was just way more exciting. You know, most of the episode had a lot of like battling stuff go on in it.
You learned a lot about Galvin.
Uh-huh. You learned a lot about Galvin and basically this half-life as the demons are called who killed his wife. And so he has a vendetta against his half-life. And, you know, it had some interesting, it was funny. They had like a little segment that was sort of like, you know, in the Batman TV series when like the Riddler finds the Batcave or something, you know, and they go and try to mess it up. And it's so funny because, you know, we said that there's this Ruby character that is basically exactly Xander and Willow put together because it's got all the same Willow traits of being helpful and stuff. But at the same time, she's got the whole Xander, like, trying to get with Buffy thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's this whole third episode, really was just like that episode of Buffy where Xander kept on trying to get the nerve to talk to Buffy and tell her that, you know, he liked her.
Yeah.
It was like the same thing. And it was really funny. But the best part about it is, you know, the bad guys left a bomb in the stacks.
Yeah.
And when Ruby got there, she found like Mina knocked out and there's 14 minutes left on the bomb. So obviously there's 14 minutes left on the bomb. Wouldn't it make sense to like drag Mina out and just get as far away from there as possible?
Yeah, drag the unconscious blind chick out of the library and you know, keep on trying to call Luke.
Yeah, but instead she finds a few books, grabs them, and
she goes, oh, B for bomb. Yeah. I'm gonna look a bomb.
And within 14 minutes figures out how to disarm a bomb. Yeah.
Unfortunately, there wasn't a red wire, so she had to choose between the green and the blue. Yeah. And she leaves a message for Luke, letting him know that she might die then. So she's literally going to put everyone's life in danger.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the idea of maybe picking this bomb up and throwing it in the river or something.
That would make too much sense.
Silly.
It was just so funny because I'm like, she's talking it keeps on passing because it's cutting in between the two storylines, and I'm like, why isn't she gone yet?
Yeah.
And then you don't even realize really what she's doing. Then she makes this phone call to him, and then she looks down, and you see her with a pair of pliers. You're like, really? She's going to cut a cord? She's going to disarm the bomb?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it didn't even work in Lethal Weapon 3. I don't know how it's going to work now, but yeah, it was so funny that they went with that.
And really, like, a reasonable person, even if they were going to risk their own life, would have moved the blind chick that has visions, blind unconscious chick with visions, would have moved her at least out of the way.
Yeah,
you know,
because
then
sense.
It's like, I'm giving up my life, but you know, she could still live.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, that would just be too much.
But you know what? You can't smite your way into his heart.
You certainly can't.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I want to create a wall of quotes from the show because it's too good.
And they're all Galvin's quotes.
Yeah, here's one that I like. Your dad's name was Van Helsing. Bram Stoker stole your name. If I were you, I'd be mad as hell. Which actually, yeah. you know, was kind of an interesting little piece. I do like how they kind of weave, like, you know, fiction with more fiction. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. When they get to their first demon, Galvin says, "Let go. Do it now or I shall surely smite ye, you freak." Yeah, there was a whole lot of that. There's a whole lot of yees and smite going on.
It's so weird. It's like, even if it's the tradition to shout those things at them, you're an American. He's supposed to be an American.
Yeah.
And it's just weird.
Well, apparently that's the only way demons understand you, if you talk in that ye olde English, apparently. Because every demon must be from, like, the 1800s.
I guess so. I do like about the demons, though, that they're all kind of, like, half human, half animal.
I guess that's why they call them half-life, so.
Yeah, seriously. Like, because they've got, like, a rat guy and pig guys and dog guys and bird guys.
Yeah, you're right. They all are, like, half animals. It's totally true. Here's another good ditty. Put the gun down or forever feel my wrath, you freak.
Well, at least he's consistent with the freak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of like the second episode because it was a little Doctor Who-ish with this sort of, like, Gilgamesh thing that's, like, stealing children.
Yeah, that was
You know, and I thought that was fine, but, you know, overall, it's just one of those things that you have to take, I don't know if using the term grain of salt works, but you just sort of have to, like,
stride.
Yeah, you sort of, like, if you would like to see a bad recreation of Buffy starring a guy who I'm sure, like, girls would probably find attractive and perhaps other people, then, you know, hey, you know, go for it. But it certainly is not treading new ground.
No, it's not taking on any new ground. It's not as fun as a Merlin. It's not as good as a Buffy. But at the same time,
it's not as good as any of the British TV we watch.
It's true, but at the same time, I think we really enjoyed that fourth episode. The fourth episode that was about Mina Harker and about vampires. Yeah. They actually did a really good job because they really interwove the Dracula myth in with it.
I like that when they realized they were going to fight a vampire and Luke first finds out about them, Galvin gives him the book Dracula and says this is the best research material.
And then the great thing that he does is he passes it off to Ruby and says, do my homework for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And she goes, okay, I'll do your homework for you. But then in reality, she goes, yeah, that book's boring. I'm not going to finish reading it.
Yeah. I'm so in love with you. Okay, I'll do your homework. It's it's pretty funny. I have to say, though, yeah, the third and fourth episode were better. And I think the vampire lore stuff was definitely interesting.
Now that we have more information on the past of Galvin and the past of Mina and stuff, we can actually really start to get into story now. They can make it now more individual. Luke has been starting his training and Ruby's there with him and you know, the Galvin and Mina characters are kind of solidified in their lives now. Yeah. And so, you know, I think we're going to at least keep trying to watch the next couple episodes and see if episodes 3 and 4 were just a fluke or if it's actually progressively getting better.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of keep you informed as to how it's going in case you're not watching it. But we're not saying don't give it a shot, you know, especially if you miss Buffy.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't feel like getting the DVDs and watching it over or something. Yeah. But at the same time, this definitely isn't up to the standards of Doctor Who and Torchwood and being human and
Jekyll,
and even Merlin, our guilty pleasure.
Perot, Miss Marple,
yeah,
yeah, I agree. You know, I'd have to say that, you know, we gave Caprica a pretty hard time, but at least Caprica, like, attempted to do something kind of different and sort of new, though not. This show is just clearly a copy of Buffy, so it's sort of like, you know, take that as it is, you know.
Yeah.
if you can deal with a watered down version of Buffy you know, starring British people, then go for it.
I would like them to make Ruby a better character, though, and not just his dopey friend,
because
that's
agree.
All because, like, at least Willow was a genius on the computer.
Yeah,
you know, she could find you anything, you know, and Xander was there for comic relief.
That's the thing.
But you can't have, you know, you can't have his only friend, his only human friend, be that dopey.
Well, it's funny because she's most like Xander, because really she's sort of the everyman and she is dopey and she's in love with him. And really, you know, it's almost just like because she's female and a sidekick that she's like Willow. Because,
you know what I kind of hope?
What?
I hope she's actually an alien.
I know, right?
When she was trying to leave him the message about how she loves him and stuff, she started off kind of like joking around and saying, Luke, I have something I've been meaning to tell you. I'm an alien. And yeah. It's like, and I was hoping like, I really hope that she turns out to be an alien.
You know what?
This is just like, they need to give her something. They need her to have something other than dopey.
Yeah, I don't think they ever gave any alien mythology in Buffy, so maybe they should do that to separate themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe it can be called, you know, maybe it can be Demons in the Crystal Skull or something. You know, that'd be pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say other than the fact that, you know, just know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Be prepared. Like Kolchak, brown bag it with all your awesome tools.
Heck yeah, Kolchak. There you go this time, making the reference from the 70s.
We've been watching Kolchak lately on Netflix, which is awesome, and it is like the most awesome show ever.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like, it is a total precursor to X-Files and Supernatural and all these shows that we love, and it's
you can totally
awesome.
See where they got some of their stuff from.
I mean, it's outrageously awesome. And certainly better than like a good part of the shows that we watched for the show, to be perfectly
it's
frank.
It's true. And you should check out our blog to see the things that we learned while fighting off the plague.
Yes, yes. But I say that let's just do a quick thing. I think not happy about Caprica pilot, but we're hoping that it'll get a lot better.
Totally up to keep watching. Thank you guys. Watch the pilot, see what you think, let us know. But yeah.
Love Chuck. Love that it's back. Very surprised they haven't done any Subway stuff yet, so good for that. Good
but
for Subway.
Loving the Honda.
Yeah,
the
Honda
little
ads
Honda
are hilarious.
Incorporation.
Love Human Target, love the pilot, love it even more after the last two episodes.
Yeah, we're all about Human Target.
And Demons, if you want the exact same show as Buffy, just not as good and the male lead, then you're in luck.
But at least watch the fourth episode, because it's really cool.
Yeah, it definitely gets better than the third and fourth episode.
So next week, we might be talking about a movie I never, ever wanted to watch.
Yes.
And forced me to.
Oh,
it
was beautiful. It was sort of like, you know, how Jack forced Byleen to tattoo him. Yeah. That's kind of what the scenario was.
Smallville will be back, and we might be getting really upset about that, but we're not sure yet. Dollhouse will have finished, and so we'll wrap that up.
Yeah.
So that's all the time that we have for this episode of Geek World. Don't forget, you can send us an email, geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website, geekworldradio.com, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place.